A story is told about a man called John. So John wants to buy a house, and he goes to one of these house sales, like an open house sale, where you go view the house, and if it is to your liking, you buy it. The house is actually going to be auctioned because it belongs to this old couple that, you know, died some time back. And the family, the remaining family, wants to get rid of it. Okay, not really get rid of it, but to sell it. So John goes to this house and he starts viewing the house. He goes, from the looks of how the paintings are and all those things, the house looks like pretty old, like it was built during the times of the Civil War. So he continues looking into the house, and he finally finds himself at a door that leads to the basement. So the basement is a bit damp, but you know, John goes into the basement. He uses a flashlight, he looks around, he finds some old rifles. And you know, John is an ardent historian, so from his knowledge from history, he can actually tell that these rifles were actually used during the Civil War, and they're actually quite old. So as he looks around, he discovers an old table, really dusty, with so many webs. So he finds like a false drawer, and he opens the false drawer. Inside he finds something that looks like leather. The leather actually has something in it. So he opens up the leather and he stumbles upon what looks like gold, you know? Some few pieces of gold. And from the looks of it, if they're original pieces of gold, then John might be well having like millions of shillings in his bank account, you know? So John is not really sure that these are gold pieces, but they look like gold pieces. And if indeed they are gold pieces, John is going to be an instant millionaire, you know? Another story is told of a lady. This lady is on the other side of the world. This lady is an ardent painter, you know? She's let me call her a professional painter. And she has been painting all her life. So one of these days she goes to a painting, exhibition. Then she discovers a painting that looks like Picasso's painting. Picasso was from old, like back then, and he's really one of the most renowned painters in the world. So his paintings are so, I don't know much about his paintings, but his paintings are like the bomb. So this lady examines the painting, and when he asks the people in the exhibition, they tell him that's not really Picasso's painting, because normally a Picasso's painting would have his signature with both his names, with his name. But before the lady knows that before that, Picasso's paintings, like the first two or three pieces, Picasso didn't put his full name, he only put his signature. So this lady knows this piece of information that these other people don't know. So this particular painting she looks at, it has initials of Picasso. So she pulls out her magnifying glass, she looks at really like intently at the painting. And she discovers that indeed this might be an original Picasso. So the lady has the option of spending some good amount of money in it. And that is like her savings on it. And if indeed this is Picasso's painting, she will, when she resells it, she will be a millionaire. She will definitely get good returns from it, you know. The problem will solve all her problems. The money she acquires will solve like most of her problems where she's at. Let's say it like that. She has the option of buying the painting with all her savings and getting returns. Or, looking at it from the other side, this might actually not be an original Picasso's painting. And if she uses all her savings to buy this painting, then she will end up with nothing. So she's at a crossroads. She needs to think and think fast. So fast forward, John actually took a leap of faith and bought the house. And to his advantage, or to his blessing, John actually discovered that the gold coins were actually indeed authentic Civil War coins. So when he took it to the museum, he was paid millions of shillings for the rare pieces of gold. And he was able to pay off the mortgage that he took to buy the big house. He ended up with a nice house, plus he had lots of other cash to use. So it was actually a win for John. So what happened to this other lady? So after contemplating and contemplating, this lady decided to buy the painting, to take a risk and buy the painting. And likewise for her, this painting was also an original Picasso. The lady sold the painting and she was able to expand her business. She was able to even do other paintings, and she grew on from there. So both of them was like a win-win. So I was trying to imagine what would happen if it were the other situation. But oh well, we are not here for a business class. We are just here to explore the concept of surrender. So as you can see from those two situations, these people had to look at the risk and the reward involved. And definitely, key issues that were in both cases involved a number of factors that were critical to identify and make wise decisions. So the first thing was that there's this thing about truth and authenticity. The fact that the gold coins were indeed gold coins and the painting was indeed a Picasso painting. The second thing was knowledge. You know, this guy was an ardent historian and he knew that this house might have probably been from the Civil War. And this lady, being a professional painter and who has a lot of knowledge on painting, knew that this might actually be a Picasso. So the second thing is knowledge on that. And the third thing, which is actually the most important and what we will look at, was the concept of faith and courage. These two people, having the knowledge and all these things, they decided to take a leap of faith and they had the courage to buy the house and also buy the painting respectively. Because yes, they might have this knowledge that this might actually be original stuff, but then they wouldn't have bought it. So the faith and courage to trust that this were indeed original things is what actually pushed them. So the same thing, let us look at the Bible, an interesting parable here. The parable of the hidden treasure and the pearl. It's from Matthew chapter 13, verse 44 to 46. It says, "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again. And then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it." In the olden days, people used to bury their treasures on land, you know. So this man, we're told, he went to survey a land. Then he found some treasure hidden. He was really happy that this treasure was really worth a lot more. So he went, sold everything he had, then he bought that land. Because he knew buying this land would guarantee him the treasure and he would gain more, you know. Same to the second one, where we're told a merchant looking for fine pearls. He finds it, he sells everything, then he buys it. Because what he buys is much more valuable than what he's got. So, sorry about that. So that is how we look at the concept of surrender. Most of us look at surrender like loss, but however, surrender is gain. Like this two stories of John and the painter, and also the parable of the hidden treasure. These four people actually left everything they had. They had the faith and the courage to leave everything they had for something even far much greater than it, you know. We often associate surrender with having to give away, than having to get. We talk about, if I surrender to God, I will lose my friends. I will lose the fun that I used to have. I won't be able to do this. I won't be able to do that. We often don't look at it like, when I surrender my life to God, I will not now be the one to carry all my burdens, you know. I will not have to fret about my problems. I will not have to think about what I will eat tomorrow or what I will drink, because I know God assures me that even the grass, He's the one who clothes them, you know. Even the birds in the air, they don't plant any seed, but He provides for them. So the fact that we look at surrender as loss other than gain, it hinders us from completely surrendering to God. Some of us have different lifestyles. We're used to maybe going out, you know, living the life of the party and all that. And you feel like when you surrender to God, then we won't be able to do all these things, you know. But you know what? Life with God is not a boring life, you know. You don't just like, our God is not a boring father. He is the one who created everything. We have holiday destinations. We want to say we want to go to the Bahamas. We want to have like a 6-month cruise experience. He's the one who created the oceans. We want to go snorkeling or deep sea diving, you know, to see the flora and fauna in the seas. He's the one who created this. And these things we do to have fun. God is the one who created that. And our description of having fun may totally be completely different with what the will of God is. Sometimes our definition of maybe having fun is, you know, the same old, going out, partying, living the life of the, you know, party and all that. But we can still have fun, you know. We can still go out with friends. We can still go out and enjoy. We can still go out and not, you know, having to be like drunk and wasted and all that. We can still enjoy life when we surrender. So it is more of gaining than losing, you know. It is just living out the best life God has for you. And the moment we start looking at surrender this way, then it is easier for us to give God our all. And looking at it, the reward is far much greater than what we're living. By the way, if you think you're living your best life right now and you haven't surrendered to God, there is yet to come. There is more to come. And also for all those of us who have surrendered to God, there is eternal life that is yet to come. So yes, we might be thinking we're living a blast and all that, but you cannot just imagine like what eternity will be like and how it will be like to live in the presence of God and all that. So it is important for us to look at surrender as gain and not loss. You know, surrender is gain and not loss. Is gain and not loss. And I'd just love you to take some time, as Chip says in his book, just tell God all the things that you fear you will lose if you surrender everything in total commitment to Him, and just ask Him to lead you and to show you that surrender is gain and not loss. And take a leap of faith and just surrender all those things that you feel like you don't want to leave, and just, you know, dare to surrender, and you will see what God will do in your life. And He will just do exceedingly abundantly, because He loves us and He only has good plans for us. I really hope you are blessed. And oh, by the way, those were not like real stories. Those were just made up. Actually, I adapted them from Ingram in his book, Living on the Edge. And my prayer is that you may continue thinking about signing the blank check, and that you may eventually sign the blank check. Looking forward to meeting you in the next episode. But before that, stay blessed, and I love you.